This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبريكاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, as students, as businessmen, as athletes, as parents, we all require some sort of preparation for everything that we do. Take an example of an athlete, one who runs a 100-meter sprint. He spends 8 or 9 months of his life for approximately 10 seconds of work. And then take the example of an engineer. He goes to school for about 25 years and then he starts working or tries to start working, not knowing with a surety whether or not he will get a job. And then take the example of a parent, a mother, before her pregnancy. She will read up book after book, trying to prepare herself mentally and physically so that she may take care of her child. Now, brothers and sisters, if this is what we do for our dunya, who is going to prepare for our akhirah? Approximately 1 month from today, the blessed month of Ramadan is to come upon us. And we need to ask ourselves, how do we look forward to Ramadan? Are we of those individuals who when Ramadan comes, that is when we prepare for it? Or are we like our predecessors, who 6 months prior to the advocacy of Ramadan would start preparing for it? And then after the 6 months that follow Ramadan, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their deeds from them. You have to ask yourself, where do you stand? Now, obviously, for a fact and with a surety, we know that it is our Islam that has caused us to gather here today. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to remind you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believer. I'm here to remind you that Ramadan is coming close. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful hadith, he said, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever fasts Ramadan with faith and aspiration, then Allah will forgive for him every sin that he put forth. Such is the blessing of Ramadan. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that it is during this blessed month of Ramadan that the shayateen, the devils, those creation of Allah that whisper to us to do evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala locks them up during this blessed month. And it is during this blessed month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies our deeds exponentially. It is through this blessed month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Qur'an. Brothers and sisters, I could stand here from now until Isha just mentioning the merit of Ramadan. Ramadan is a blessed month that it is not hidden from any one of us. Yet then why is it that none of us prepare for this blessed month? Why is it that we go into Ramadan with this lackadaisical attitude that when Ramadan comes, then I will prepare myself for it? For those of you who have experienced Ramadan before, you know Ramadan is not an easy month. It takes a lot of strife, a lot of struggle, and it has a toll physically and mentally on the individual. Fasting every single month of the day, and then every month, every day of the night, you're praying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for about an hour. This is not something easy to do. Imagine if you had to do this every day of the year. Imagine how would you react to it? Just like the athletes prepare for their physical events. Just like the mother prepares for her delivery. Just like doctors and engineers prepare for their jobs. Why is it that the Muslims then don't prepare for Ramadan? So brothers and sisters, today I thought we would take a couple of examples of how we could prepare for this blessed month. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said that he was the most generous of creation. He was the most generous of creation. And he was at the pinnacle of his generosity during the month of Ramadan, such that he was like the wind that blows through the streets. That anyone that needed something, the Prophet ﷺ was the first one to give out. Anyone needed money, he would give it out. Anyone needed food, he'd make sure that they got it. Brothers and sisters, this is how we need to be. But if we don't prepare in advance for this month, we will never reach such a level. We all know that we have this emotional attachment to money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms it himself for mankind when he says, وَيُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا, that they love wealth to such an extreme that it is the most beloved thing to them. Right? And now when it comes time during the blessed month of Ramadan to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take care of the poor and the needy, you will find yourself that you are unable to do so. Not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't bestowed wealth upon you, but because you haven't prepared your soul, you haven't prepared your heart from parting for this wealth, from parting from this wealth. Now it is something very interesting, the Islamic concept of savings. In the Western world, or in the world that we live in today rather, it's not just restricted to Western society, we take our money and we put it in bank accounts, hoping that, you know, it will accumulate some sort of interest, by the way, which is haram of course, and then eventually we just expect it to go and stay there, regardless if we live the next day or if we won't. But Islam offers you an ulterior solution, that we know this life is limited. Whether we live 50, 60, 100 years, it is a limited life and we will part from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us a solution to preserve our lust. And this solution is seen in the hadith again from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought her a sheep. He brought her a sheep and he said, sacrifice this sheep and give it to those around us, meaning our neighbors, give it to our relatives and give it to the poor people of Medina. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha embarked upon this task and she gave out the vast majority of the meat and she left the shoulder blade because she knew that was the most tender part of the meat, so she wanted to preserve it for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to her and he said, Ya Aisha, what have you done with the meat? And then she radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that I gave all the meat away and I saved for us the shoulder blade. And then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her that concept of Islamic financing and taught her how the believer looks towards his wealth. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather it is the shoulder blade that you have, you know, consumed and given away. And it is everything else that you have saved. And then he recited the ayah from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا عِنْدَكُمْ تَنْفُضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ, that anything that you consume, right, it will perish. It will disappear. It is not meant to stay. But that which you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what will stay. That is what will remain. So now when the blessed month of Ramadan comes, and you want to increase your hasanat, and you want to be of those individuals that is not disgraced on your Qiyamah, one of the best ways to do this is giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feeding the poor people, and giving food to the hungry, and increasing the ties of kinship with your relatives by bestowing gifts upon them. But you will not be able to do this until and unless you prepare your heart and your mind to do this. I request all the brothers to come forth, inshallah, so that we can, you know, make some room for the brothers who are coming late. So brothers in the back, please come forth, and brothers who are in the front, please come closer towards myself, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So now, again, this concept of financing and saving our wealth. The one who is successful is the one who will benefit from his dunya for the akhirah. That he prepares for the akhirah through his dunya. So now this small concept of giving your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that save your faces from the hellfire. Save your faces from the hellfire, even if it is by giving half of a date in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, prepare your hearts, prepare your minds from today. Give wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is little. And when the time comes, when our deeds are multiplied exponentially, and the reward for them is magnified and gratified, then we will be able to give whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks from us. Now how is the attitude of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum when it came to giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's take the example of Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That we know Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to compete with Abu Bakr to do good deeds. So one day he thought to himself, today with a surety I will outdo Abu Bakr. I'm going to take half of my wealth and give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Ya Umar, what have you left behind for your family? And he said, I have left behind half of my wealth. And then at that very moment, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all of his wealth. Brothers and sisters, every single dinar he had to his name. Every single extra piece of clothing, every single piece of food or grain that he had, he gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, Ya Aba Bakr, what have you left behind for your family? And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I have left behind Allah and His Messenger. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now brothers and sisters, this is not something Islam makes compulsory upon us. This is something, it is just recommended, and it is a story to encourage us to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if mortal human beings before us could do such a deed, then why is it that we can't? Do we not claim that we are better than those that preceded us? But little do we realize that all good of this ummah was with the salaf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. And in another example of giving wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us turn back to Surah At-Tawbah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing one of the expeditions that he was going upon. And the people wanted to go out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet they had nothing to give. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe them? Brothers and sisters, think about this. And if this does not bring tears to your eyes, you need to check yourself and increase your iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as saying, or doing, or feeling, وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُ عَلَيْهِ مَا أَنْفِقُ عَلَيْهِ. That their eyes used to flood with tears. Their eyes used to flood with tears because they could not find anything to give. Now brothers and sisters, look at your situation and the situation of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That they were individuals when they didn't have anything to give. This is when their eyes would tear up and they would complain. And us, with all the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, with all the bounties and the mercies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, we are the ones complaining when we are asked to give in the for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, realize that anything that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, it will not decrease your wealth. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sadaqah will not take away from your wealth. And secondly, anything that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with something better. When it comes to money and when it comes to wealth, it's not just about the amount that you have, but rather it's about how much you can do with this wealth. As we know, money is a rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Him it comes, and to Him it returns. There are times all of you are working or have worked at one point in your life, that you may work a week, and then at the end of the week, when you get your paycheck, you realize that all this is going towards bills. And then another week will come where you will have paid all of your bills, and you still have money left over. And you're able to do with that money that which you're not able to do with a full paycheck. This is barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in your wealth. But this barakah will only come once you give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not come by holding on to it and being stingy with it. But it will only come when you give it free-handedly. Now look at the example that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives, and the hadith mentioned by Bukhari and Muslim, when he said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. That seven individuals will be shaded in the shade on Yawm al-Qiyamah, a day that there is no shade other than the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now of these seven individuals, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of them is the one who gives in such secrecy and privacy that his left hand will not know what his right hand gave. The left hand will not know what the right hand gave. Now, which one of you, in the heat of Yawm al-Qiyamah, when you are drowning in your perspiration, and it feels as if the sun is only inches away from you, would not want to be shaded by the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brothers and sisters, prepare your nafs, prepare your hearts for giving in the for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and preparing for the month of Ramadan, the month that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most generous in. Now, another way that we can prepare for this blessed month of Ramadan is by returning back to one of the very foundations of this deen. Turning back to what our deen is based upon. The guidance, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it. The mercy, the healing, the Furqan. Brothers and sisters, it is none other than the Quran. We know that it is through in the blessed month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Qur'an in this blessed month. And thus, it is known as the month of the Qur'an. Now let me give you one example of the blessing and mercy that lies in the Qur'an, in terms of deeds. And a hadith mentioned by Abu Dawud, and you might not see the correlation from the very beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions. And a man came in and he said, Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 10. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were, you know, astonished. They're like, why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say a number instead of, you know, saying wa alaykum assalam, or by, you know, commenting on this person, or by anything else? A second man came in and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 20. Again, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are astonished. And then a third man comes in and he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 30. Now, at this point, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they couldn't handle it anymore. Their inquiries got the best of them and they said, Ya Rasulullah, why is it that when each man entered in and gave you salams, you repeated a number? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who comes into a gathering and he says Assalamu alaikum, he has 10 rewards. And a person who says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, he has 20. And a third individual who says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he has 30 rewards. Now how do I relate this to the Quran? Brothers and sisters, in the hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, in describing the merits of the Quran, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying that with each letter of the Quran that you recite and enunciate, you get a reward, and each reward is 10 times its length. Meaning for each letter of the Quran, you get a reward of 10 hasanat. And then he goes on to say, وَلَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ حَرْفٌ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. That just for saying Alif, Lam, Mim, words from the Quran, the first three letters from Surah Al-Baqarah, you get the same reward as saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we all know of the great station that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the salams in Islam. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ لَتَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. That he said, none of you will enter Jannah until you believe. And you will not believe until you love one another. So shall I not guide you to that thing? If you were to do it, it would increase the love amongst yourselves. Spread the salams amongst yourselves. This is the station that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the salams. And then look at its reward. Now if that is the case with just the salams, then how about those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more rewards to? Like the recitation of the Qur'an. With three mere letters, you are getting the reward of saying the whole salams. And saying the salams is something which enters you into Jannah. This is something to reflect upon, brothers and sisters. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises people with the Qur'an and humiliates others. Meaning that those people who have memorized the Qur'an and read the Qur'an frequently, you can see it on their faces. You can see it in the way they walk and they talk. You can see it in their good morals and manners and in their etiquette. Whereas those people who do not read the Qur'an and do not memorize the Qur'an, likewise you can see it on them. They will have the worst of manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bestow His nur upon them. And He will deprive them of good in this life and in the hereafter. As Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَنَا وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكْ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. That the Qur'an is a proof for you or a proof against you. Now brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. And we all have aspirations to recite the whole Qur'an during this blessed month. We all have this aspiration. Yet the vast majority of us will fall short in the fulfillment of this aspiration. Because those of us who do not give the Qur'an its due right before the month of Ramadan will not be able to give its right during the month of Ramadan. This is a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to finish the Qur'an during the blessed month of Ramadan, then start reading the Qur'an today. Start preparing yourself today. Because it is with preparation that one will be ready. And this is why we see, as we mentioned earlier, that the Salaf radiallahu ta'ala anhum were so successful during the Ramadans. And they were able to accomplish so much during the Ramadans. Not only would they set goals of what they wanted to achieve during this blessed month, but they would actually take those physical steps of what was needed to fulfill those actions during the blessed month of Ramadan. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq, not only to set goals so that we may increase our iman and do those deeds that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to actually grant us tawfiq to take those steps so that we can be prepared for that month. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the blessed month of Ramadan by saying أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, that Ramadan is but a numbered amount of days. And we know the importance of time and the restrictions of time. When we are with our families, we try to make the most of it. When we're playing our sports, we try to make the most of our time that we get the most physical activity that we can do. And likewise, when we are studying, we try to get in the most amount of studying possible in that amount of time, so that we may benefit from it. And likewise, brothers and sisters, we need to have the same attitude when it comes to Ramadan. That Ramadan is a month where we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is a month where we do those deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will save us from the hellfire. So make the most of Ramadan. Set those goals. Set those goals for Ramadan and take those steps that you will need to take in order to achieve those actions during the blessed month. And one of the best ways to do this is by remembering death. One of the best ways to prepare yourself for the month of Ramadan is by remembering death. That when you remember death, you will realize that you have no control over your life in this world. You have no control over how long you will live. You have no control over when or how you will die. This is completely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For all we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not even grant us life to live this Ramadan. But if you make the intention from now, if you make the intention from now to improve for the month of Ramadan and to prepare for the month of Ramadan, then if you were to die today, at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you up with that intention and will reward you for that intention, even though you weren't able to fulfill it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, He reminds us of the scenario on Yawm al-Qiyamah when we all show up, when each and every one of us is there, and their actions are in front of them. And He will say, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ لِأَصَّدَّقُوا وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ أَجْلًا إِذَا جَاءَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ كَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That during Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us, and each individual, he will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will say, "Oh my Lord, please just delay my reckoning so that I may go back to the dunya and may do some sort of good deed. Return me back to the dunya so that I may do that good deed." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He will not delay departing of any soul from this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of what you do. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed life upon you. He has bestowed health and wealth upon you. Make the most of it in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preparing for this blessed month. And I remind you of a commandment, a great one indeed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself begins with when He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام، وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان. اللهم ابلغ علينا رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم ابلغنا رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم ابلغنا رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وبك منك، ولا نحصي الثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأقيم الصلاة.